Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with Eric Glazer, attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. And Scott Shapiro will be with us next week. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars, and that schedule is now out and available. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. Of course, today, one of our sponsors, Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz, is in the house, and we'll be hearing from him in a little while. You can also automatically link to our Facebook page. You can link to our brand new HOA and condo blog at www.hoa-condoblog.com. And you can join our growing email list, and you can get copies of our newsletters and other announcements that we make about the show week in and week out. And of course, if you want to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And as Karen was saying, Scott isn't with us today. So before we get going, our sympathies go out to Scott Shapiro and his family today. Scott unfortunately lost his grandfather this week. So again, here at Condo Craze and HOA, Scott, we wish you only the best to you and your family. And we look forward to having you back in the booth with us next week. All right. It was really great seeing lots of our clients this week and listeners to the show this past Wednesday at the PM Expo event in Orlando. Really a fantastic turnout and another job well done for Steve Hirsch and Whitney Winters. And we had the pleasure, of course, of teaching the board certification course. And again, it was definitely a lot of fun. And I have to tell you, Karen, it is really flattering when we run into so many people who actually, they don't live in the South Florida area even.
And
they still listen week in and week out. They can't hear us on the radio, but they make an effort to really listen to the show live, either on the internet or on their smartphone,
right,
or directly from the show's website. And again, to everybody around the state, really a heartfelt thank you.
Yeah, the station has an app on their smartphone.
Right, exactly. Just push a button on your smartphone, and really anywhere in the country you can listen to it. So again, thanks to so many people for tuning in week out. And like we said last week, we are getting a great response from people who are registering for the board certification seminars, again, throughout the state. And remember, Florida law now provides members of a condo board, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board. Pretty soon we're going to be right smack dab in the middle of the election season. And in fact, you can now get certified 1 year before getting elected to the board. A lot of people think it's a good idea to actually get certified before running for the board. Why? Because it's something that you can sell yourself on when you decide to actually run for the board. And one way of getting certified is by taking the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course. It's the first course that was written by an attorney and that was approved by the Florida DBPR.
And that was, of course, Eric that wrote it. Eric has now certified over 2,500 Floridians who are now eligible to serve on a Florida Condominium Board of Directors. The course is fun. The course is free. There's food served. You can get to ask any questions you want. And you leave with a summary of everything you learned and a really nice frameable certificate.
Yeah, and all of our sponsors are there as well, and you get a chance to meet all of them. And again, like we're saying, before you know it, election season is going to be in full swing again. So come learn about your duties as board members, learn about budgets, reserves, financial reporting, board meeting procedures, and a lot more. And this year, we even added some information about making material alterations, competitive bidding, and the ever-popular emotional support animals.
Woof, woof.
Yeah. So if your board is also interested in actually getting certified at your condo or in our law office, you can also give Glazer & Associates a call at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze, and we can make arrangements to even bring the course to you. We'll just quickly go over the schedule. The next seminar now is at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on November 8th at 6 p.m. After that, on December 1st at 10 a.m., we'll be at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Naples, Florida. And on December 15th, we'll be back in Orlando at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios. Again, you want to register for any of those courses, you just go to www.condocrazeandhoas and fill out the form. How about before we get going, Karen,
sure.
We take Susan from Boca.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. What's up, Susan?
Hi. My understanding is that the state of Florida Condominium Act states that a unit owner is responsible for floor coverings, and my understanding is also that if the condominium sends a contractor to evaluate the leak and the carpet problem but then doesn't do anything for a year and mold grows in the carpet, that is considered negligence. So, two-part question. Is my understanding correct that that's considered negligence, so they would be responsible to pay for the carpet?
You know, we were going to introduce Paul in a little while, Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz, but now might be a good time to do that, too. How are you, Paul?
Good, Eric. Thank you.
All right. We get these questions all the time on the show. Who's responsible for leaks? And the bottom line, Susan, here's the bottom line. If your carpet was, in fact, damaged, in order for you to recover for that damage to that carpet, absent not having an insurance policy that Paul can talk to you about. Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. I think those types of policies are HO6s.
Correct.
Right? If you don't have that type of insurance policy, in order for you to recover and get damages from your condo for, let's say, a leak, you're going to have to prove negligence. And if you can't prove negligence against the condo association, you're not going to recover. Now, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. If she was unable to prove negligence, let's say, but a leak did occur in her condominium association, she can turn to her policy if she had one.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's got to be caused by a covered peril in order to get the homeowner's policy to pay it. But
I know, but can I just jump in and say, I was advised not to use my condo homeowner's insurance because I was told that I would likely be dropped because I'd have such a negligence board, because the board, I would be considered too high a risk because of a negligent board. So my question really is there any case law that you know about? In other words, you know, they sent a contractor who ruled out the roof and actually said it was something in the building envelope. They did nothing for more than a year. Water came in and caused the carpet to get moldy. And so I'm wondering if...
Yeah, okay, Susan, let me cut you off. If what you're saying is they investigated the problem, the board, and they got a professional opinion that the roof needed to be fixed and they ignored that professional opinion.
No, it wasn't the roof. It wasn't. They ruled out the roof, said it was something in the building envelope, and they still did nothing, and then the carpet had to be removed.
Whatever it was, it's a problem that they were put on notice about and they ignored it for a year and it resulted in flood damage to your unit without them making the necessary repairs, then yes, you would probably be able to prove negligence. However, most of the time, telephone calls are of a not-so-similar nature, I should say, to the show, which basically talks about a pipe bursting in a wall through no fault of the board.
Sudden accidental.
Right, something that's just accidental and just happens. Right. And unit owners, for some reason, think that automatically they're covered. It's the board's problem and it's covered, you know, no issue. And I think Paul will tell you that's absolutely not the case. But in your case, Susan, yes, if you can prove negligence, you can sue. But I think it probably doesn't hurt you to put that claim in. I don't think you're going to be dropped unless you can correct me if I'm wrong, Paul.
But the question is there any case law that you know about where a homeowner actually went to court and was awarded carpet replacement because of negligence? Is there any case law to this effect?
I'd have to check arbitration cases or perhaps some circuit court opinion cases, but all of them say, cases all come down where you have to prove negligence on behalf of the board. Negligence can be proven by A, failing to correct a problem, or B, allowing a leak to continue for too long a period of time before the association does something about cleaning it up.
Thank you, Susan.
But if you have a specific question, Susan, you want to follow up, just give us a call at the office, actually, at 855-4 Condo Craze. Susan will be glad to talk to you personally off the air.
Well, last week we spoke about all the libel and slander suits that too often often take up the time of people living in community associations. The fact that Florida ranks 46th out of 50 in the best states to retire in, and more cases of theft in our Florida associations, and a pretty interesting deposition that Eric took when defending a foreclosure case.
Yeah, it definitely felt like we hit about a million and one topics last week, Karen, and lots to talk about last week. And the same thing applies today, but before we get to our guest, again, Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Agency, let's just quickly talk about a topic that we touched on in our blog, and that is the fact that, you know, the common complaint about board members out there is that of the typical, you know, condo commando, where the stereotype is more or less, let's say, a drill sergeant who tries to run the place like an army barracks. And while that may be the stereotypical portrayal of an association board member, we wrote about the fact that there's another type of board member out there that may be even worse than the so-called commando, and I called that person the anti-commando, or the man or woman who actually does the opposite of the commando and, in effect, takes a seat on the board and does nothing. And every board member who works hard at actually being a board member knows exactly who we're talking about. And, you know, it's the board member that abstains from voting on any issue because somebody's feelings can get hurt, or the board member that looks the other way when the owners or the renters commit violations of the governing documents, or the board member that wants a million bids in hand before deciding to fix a $10 problem, or the one that even votes against raising the budget, even though they know that the association's bills can't possibly get paid if the budget remains the same. We all know who we're talking about.
You actually called this board member the anti-condo commando and argued that the anti-condo commando is more dangerous to the association than the commando.
Yeah, I think so, Karen. That's right. You know, the anti-commando may be more dangerous because, you know, failing to vote on issues that can result in deadlocks, causing problems to linger, looking away when owners violate the governing documents puts that association in a potential waiver situation, and that would prevent the association from now ever enforcing those violations, perhaps. Overanalyzing bids and unreasonably holding on for that cheaper price sometimes causes damages to compound, and perhaps that's what was going on in Susan's call a few minutes ago, and that only leads to increased repair costs and failure to increase assessments, as we know. That causes bills to go unpaid and ultimately results in special assessments. So, you know, you're not doing anybody a favor if you get on the board just for the prestige, if your approach is always hands off. It's better to stay on the sidelines, get out of the way of those members who aren't afraid to tackle the problem, even if their decisions may upset a few people. As experienced board members know, you know, no matter what decision you make, you're always going to wind up angering at least a segment of the community. So, again, better to stay in the sidelines, get out of the way. Let's do this. Let's take our first break. When we get back, we'll talk about how our readers to the blog feel about the anti-commando. And, of course, we'll introduce Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. He's the owner and president. Give us a call here in the studio about any of your condo or HOA questions, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the anti-commando board member, you know, the woman or man who actually absolutely does nothing but occupy a seat on the board. And let's see what our readers actually thought about the do-nothing board member. John Lewis writes in and says, everything I read about board members and whether they are the Gestapo or too lenient. What about the owners who act like airheads and don't follow the condominium common sense rules? For instance, a simple rule of no parking in the circular driveway in front of the condo. It's not completely forbidden, such as dropping off groceries, putting luggage in the car for a trip, or just coming back, but people test you and they park there for hours. We reserve the circular driveway for emergency vehicles or FedEx and UPS deliveries, the mail person, etc. Yet one person will park all day and the rest of the owners see what's happening and they say they might as well do the same thing. A bored person is supposed to treat everyone exactly the same, and that's what I do. I don't think I fall into either of the categories, but I'm sure someone who defies our regulations believe I do. Just a dissertation to say it's not always the board members who should be taking the flack. It's a good comment from John, who's obviously a board member who takes his responsibilities seriously. And I do think he makes a good point, Karen, of saying that just because a board member enforces the rules doesn't make that board member a condo commando.
No,
they're just
doing
their job. John's
absolutely
right. You know, don't take the job if you're just going to overlook every violation that everybody commits.
And Stephen writes in and says, if a board member in an HOA in Florida accepts a bribe and violates Florida law, what will happen to them? I was told that nothing will happen to him or her. I was also told that the board can steal and take a bribe, and they can't legally go after the board member or file charges against him. Is this information correct? I just find it hard to believe that this could be true.
Yeah, you have to wonder sometimes where people get their information from. You know, Stephen, it seems like each week on the show we talk about people getting arrested for taking money from their association, you know, whether it be a board member or a manager. And if there's one place in America where it should be pretty clear by now that stealing and accepting bribes is still illegal, South Florida is definitely the place, because we definitely lead the league down here in corruption arrests and prosecutions. So believe me, Stephen, the consequences can be ugly, including a tremendous amount of embarrassment as well.
Exactly. And Angelo writes in and says, I've participated at two different Condo Craze board certification seminars where I've learned the basic requirements to be a director. The Condo Member Certification Program is a great learning experience. Participate in it. Learn how board members should be handling their assigned duties and their responsibilities. Our board recently appointed a fifth member simply because she is an owner in good standing. She has no training, no board certification, no previous experience as a board member, no knowledge of the Florida laws.
Yeah, and that's an issue we spoke about many times on the show. To get on a condo board, as you know, you don't need any prior experience whatsoever. There's no requirement you have any sort of legal, accounting, or management experience. And until recently, there wasn't even a certification requirement. So Angelo, he makes it clear that if you have the opportunity to learn something about the association law, take advantage of it. We are happy to meet you.
If you're in an HOA, you don't have to.
Not yet. That's correct. Hopefully, we're going to see that change.
Oh, come on, DBPR. And here is a comment by someone who calls themselves a former board of director. How many corporations are run by board members who know nothing about business, economics, law, etc., and stay in business? Only neighborhood associations. It is a joke to expect this system to work. Maybe all the homeowners should sign up to rotate the board responsibilities for a year at a time in a random drawing.
Yeah, and that's something that's been debated, too, over the years. Should it be mandatory, actually, to serve on your board of directors? I say definitely no. I'm not interested in putting someone on the board who doesn't want the job, actually, and who's unqualified just because it may be their turn to serve. I actually think that's a bad idea. All right. As our listeners know, by the way, the Community Association Member Party was established to get legislation passed that would help all of you living in community associations throughout the state to know exactly what legislation each of you believe should be the top priority. There's now, again, a survey on that website that allows you to specifically tell us what legislation you deem to be the most important. So please go to www.camp2012.net and click on the survey button. We intend on getting responses from thousands of you around the state. And when the survey is completed, these results will be given to the Florida legislature. So again, www.camp2012.net. Click on the survey button and please participate in this important survey. We really need your help and your participation. All right, before we go to the end of the half-hour break, let's introduce Paul Mack from Mack and Wolf's Insurance Agency. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what you, Mack and Wolf's, do each and every day besides being such a long-term sponsor of the show.
Well, we're a full-service insurance agency. We specialize in condominium and HOAs. We've got over 700 insured. Things like property, windstorm, directors and officers insurance, liability, umbrella, all the coverages that an association needs.
One-stop shop for all the associations. That's for both condos and HOAs, right?
That's correct.
All right, bottom line, as you know, money's tight and money is on everybody's mind. And last week, the Miami Herald, they really did a great job, I should say, of reporting on what's going on with the insurance crisis throughout Florida. And it's certainly amazing to read that even though it seems that when we keep talking about on the show, real estate prices finally start to seem that they're picking up and the real estate market is starting to take off. But the Herald is reporting that real estate deals may wind up actually falling through because the buyers now simply won't be able to afford their insurance premiums on these new homes. What is going on with insurance prices? It seems like the Herald is blaming the folks at Citizens.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that is true. Rates are going up. You know, our new governor has a completely different philosophy on risk than our old governor does. And you know, don't forget, before 2005 was the bad year. After we had 1 year where we had big increases, but after that, we saw big drops in premiums, rate rollbacks. We saw mitigation get introduced. So 2010 was the first year that we saw any kind of rate increase.
Right. And, yeah, as you said, certainly since Governor Scott is in office, the rates have definitely gone up. But I see that Citizens, at least, is saying that these increased rates are absolutely necessary to enhance competition in the private insurance market and prevent what they're referring to as massive hurricane taxes should a major storm actually, you know, hit Dade or Broward County and wipe out their cash surplus. Any truth to these allegations? What's your thought?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, Citizens has 1.4 million policyholders. More than 50% of them are located in South Florida. Yeah. And if there is a big storm, most policyholders don't know, but they can be assessed up to 45% of their premium.
Wow. All right, let's do this. I hear the music playing in the background. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, or with Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz. Now's the time, everybody. If you have questions about your insurance or insurance policies, this is the guy to ask. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis. I'm with attorney Eric Glazer, who founded Glazer & Associates. Scott Shapiro will be back with us next week, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And if you are calling in, we ask that you call in about insurance issues, because we have Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz, advertisers here as well, and a friend, Insurance Group, Inc., and we're taking questions for him.
Absolutely. 877-850-8585. Paul, before we had gone to the break, we were talking about the fact that really, since Governor Scott's in office, he kind of has a different concept, perhaps, than our previous governor did in Charlie Crist. And our current governor wants to perhaps see Citizens really out of the insurance business entirely. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever be out of the insurance business entirely, because there is a need. I mean, let's not forget, they're a market of last resort. But when the rates are the lowest of any of their competition, everybody's going to buy from them, and they've got tremendous risk. So you talk about this tax where there's 45% of the premium from Citizens policyholders that can be assessed up to that much if there's a loss that they don't even they don't have a loss on their own.
Yeah, I want to make sure that the listeners understand what we're talking about. Are you saying, again, if like the mother of all storms comes through, you know, a major metropolitan area here in Florida, and Citizens doesn't have enough money to actually make the claim, they're going to get that extra money to pay the claim from the policyholders themselves?
That is correct.
And that could be as much as 45% of what their current premium actually is?
45% of what their actual premium is. And it's a complicated assessment formula, but the long and short of it is there's different divisions of Citizens, and each of the three divisions can assess up to 15%.
Gotcha. Now, I know me and you were actually talking about the fact that Citizens at least may have one type of unfair advantage over other types of insurance companies, because insurance companies kind of spread their risk around by purchasing reinsurance. Now, and that's something they're required to do. Now, I understand Citizens isn't even required to do that.
No. Up until recently, they never even bought reinsurance. And you got to understand that the way this whole thing kind of evolved is in a short period of time, they've grown and exploded into this huge insurance company. And all of it is – well, most of it is in South Florida. So it would be just cost prohibitive for them to buy reinsurance like private insurance companies do.
Right. Well, again, like we're saying, you know, at least Governor Scott wants to see it shrink dramatically and maybe even get out entirely of the insurance business. But let's talk about how that would affect the policyholders and all the residents that live in condos and HOAs throughout the state. If Citizens will kind of shrink up and go away, how do you see that affecting rates in the long term?
Well, unfortunately, you know, there's only one place for rates to go, and that's up. I mean, we've seen increases in the last couple of years. But in order to create competition, I had one association recently here in Tamarack that got a renewal quote from their private carrier. Now, the coverage wasn't the same, but Citizens was $100,000 less.
Wow.
So, you know, what do you think they did? They bought the Citizens policy.
Right.
And until that changes, there's really not going to be any substantial competition in the market.
Yeah, I guess what it really boils down to is, do we really care about whether or not there's competition in the marketplace, or do we want the rates to stay low? I guess that's what it really boils down to. Or if we bring back competition, is there any possibility that competitive rates could perhaps drop lower than Citizens' rates?
Well, at this point, I don't see them going below Citizens' rates, but you need to have a competitive market. It's not healthy to have a government-run insurance company taking on all the risk, and especially when they don't have the money. I mean, it's been okay to this point because we haven't had a big storm. But,
right.
You know, and they've done a good job of trying to close the gap of their shortfall. But if the big one hits South Florida, they don't have enough money.
Right. Now, you know, the Herald article talks about people really simply wanting to walk away from their homes because of the insurance bills that they're getting in the mail. I know mine came in just a couple of weeks ago, and mine went up about 15% in 1 year. But what about condominiums rather than just homeowners? Can we expect to see, or are we even already seeing condominium associations getting hit equally as hard as, let's say, owners who own homes in an HOA? What's going to happen with the condo market?
Yeah, unfortunately, they are going up. Those buildings that are over $10 million for each individual building are not really subject to all the rate approvals that we see that Citizens has to go through. On July 27th, the board approved a 10.2% average statewide increase. But those buildings that are over $10 million in South Florida, we've seen them anywhere from 15 to 25%. The increases.
And so condo associations can expect to go to their mailbox soon and see increases of at least around 15%.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? And when you're seeing those kind of increases, it's really your agent's responsibility to make sure now that Citizens isn't the lowest, because with these rate increases going up and the private market, the non-standard companies, there's the possibility of getting out of Citizens, getting better coverage. You're not going to save any money,
right?
But, you know, at least you got a real insurance company.
You know, it's amazing because Karen and I and Scott, we talk about on the show week after week how, you know, it seems like homeowners or residents in condos and HOAs just get hit with one right cross after another. And here we are. It certainly seems that we're starting to perhaps come out of the foreclosure crisis a little bit. But the insurance industry may set us back again with, as we're talking about, dramatically rising premiums as Citizens maybe starts to shrink. And I got to tell you, it's starting to sound like a bad dream living down here. Sometimes, you know, the homeowners and unit owners simply never seem to get a break, and there's always some bad news, Karen. You got to agree. Yeah. It's like one thing after the next. You know, now foreclosures are down, but your insurance is going up. And it's interesting. I see that one of the reasons that rates are going up is because builders are claiming they can't buy insurance any longer that covers the property as that property is actually getting built. Yeah, and they're saying they're now forced to spend an enormous amount of money on premiums, and they have no choice. They got to pass those premiums along to the actual buyers of the properties that they're building. So it seems like a vicious cycle, you know, like a dog chasing its tail. What do we do? You know, any truth to that the builders have to pay more money now?
You know, that's, you know, a part of Governor Scott's plan to change Citizens to make it truly a market of last resort. And really, you know, I mean, listen, nobody wants to pay more for insurance. Everybody understands that, and there's a very delicate balance with the economy and the foreclosure and all that we've gone through and that we were going through. But you really could argue that some of that stuff, especially that builder's risk, right along the coast that Citizens was writing was way underpriced to begin with.
Right. Let's do this. Let's head into the final break of the hour. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, or with Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance. Everyone, call in with your insurance-related questions. Now's the time to ask before you get that bill in the
mail.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll be back right after this.
Segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. Scott Shapiro will be back with us next week. Taking your phone calls for Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz. The number is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Talking about insurance, Sandy and Elizabeth, we see you there. Just hang on.
All right. Paul, I understand you have a big fan listening to the show today by the name of Nicole. Is that right?
Yes, that's my daughter.
All right. Hello goes out to Nicole. Hi, Nicole. Daddy will be home soon. All right. All right, Paul, we were saying another Miami Herald article on the same day that I was talking about that came out, I think it was in Saturday's paper, talks about the fact that many senior citizens who obviously listen to our show as well, they own their home outright and they aren't required to maintain insurance on their property, again, because there's no mortgage there. And as a result, some of them are even taking the gamble of dropping coverage completely. You know, is that something you're seeing? And is that simply a bad choice?
Yeah, we're not seeing a whole lot of that. I think that in isolated incidents, a better choice for those homeowners would be to find a non-standard company that'll write them a homeowner's policy that won't include the windstorm, because right. The windstorm's the biggest rate load, so they could save a substantial amount of money but still be protected from liability risks and those other things.
Yeah, kind of better to have something than nothing.
Yeah.
All right, you know, a couple of years ago, in my own home, I actually installed hurricane shutters, and I had a representative from the insurance company come down and verify it, and also check to see if my own roof had the proper tie downs. And I was lucky because I actually did. And I wound up saving thousands of dollars in premiums because of these mitigation credits that we hear so much about. You know, do these mitigation credits still exist? And bottom line, you know, what else can a homeowner or a condo association do to try to save money on their insurance premiums?
You know, Eric, this is probably the single biggest area that homeowners and associations can have control over their insurance program is through mitigation. So they really have to understand what goes into getting those credits and what they can do as homeowners or as directors to take advantage of additional rate credits. And that's really where your agent is a huge advocate and a huge advisor to you to help you navigate through that.
So, but they do, in fact, still exist. There are certain mitigation credits that associations or private homeowners can still take advantage of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because we kind of keep hearing out there that they seem to be going away. And as a matter of fact, I see that Citizens is actually using a massive home inspection program now where they're actually sending out inspectors to knock on your door and inspect your home really without notice. And the Herald is saying that these inspections have already cost homeowners hundreds of millions of dollars in lost mitigation credits. You know, so people are worried. People are scared that people are going to knock on their door from the insurance company saying, "I want in." So really, what should our listeners expect? Should they expect someone to be banging on their door saying they want to inspect the property?
Yeah, Erica, this is a real sore subject. Citizens estimates hundreds of millions of dollars is given away every year to homeowners that aren't eligible for those credits. Now, some of them are simple, where they've got a shutter credit, but the garage door isn't approved, so it's a simple fix. But some of them are getting credits for things that they really don't have, and it's important that Citizens wants to get it right. I really believe that they do, but nobody wants to pay more for insurance.
Right.
Whether you take away credits or not, it's still more money to the insurance company. No one likes that.
Well, in fact, I see that even though Citizens really has done these inspections only on homes so far, they're about to do them on condominium buildings as well. Is that kind of what you heard?
Yes, that's true. They're doing it right now. that massive re-inspection program. In fact, they just issued a press release that they're trying to make some changes to the program where they're trying to be more, I guess, user-friendly, or they're going to have a dispute process and those little fixes where homeowners can take advantage of the credits without having to do some significant changes. They're going to try and communicate those things.
Yeah, better. I see. This story actually broke on Friday. Citizens are saying now that under its new plan, homeowners who lose these insurance discounts due to a reinspection, they can now receive a second inspection free of charge, and they're going to have some new tools to dispute the first inspector's finding. And there's going to be some stronger effort on their part to educate the homeowners about what they need to prepare for a reinspection. How about on that note, we take Sandy from Boynton Beach.
Yes, hi. Can you please explain to me, in a condo balcony, I live on the third floor of a five-story building. I'm a little confused. The association told me that I'm responsible for the tiles and the sliding glass door, or for the maintenance of broken sliding glass doors, but they're responsible for the slab below the tile, but I'm not sure who's responsible for the walls inside the balcony. Can you please try to clarify who owns what on the balconies?
Well, it would be impossible, quite frankly, without taking a look at what your declaration of condominium actually says, because oftentimes the responsibility as to who's responsible for what is going to be found in those documents. Typically speaking, your balcony is going to be a common element or a limited common element. The slab of that balcony, the tiles on top of that balcony that you put in is going to be your problem. So let's say, for example, that there's a rebar problem in your community, and all the balconies need to be redone, you know, replastered. The association will have the right to come in, tear up your balcony. They'll have to put the balcony back, but you're going to be responsible for that broken tile that they actually have to remove, unless there is some case law out there that says unless that's how you bought it from the developer who actually designed the property. But if you didn't buy it that way, Sandy, it's going to be your responsibility to put it back. Running out of time, so how about we go to Elizabeth in Lake Worth. Elizabeth, you have a question for Paul?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Good afternoon to you all. My question is, what is meant by an unrated insurance company? I recently received a flyer from a company, I think, called People's Trust Insurance, and I understand they're an unrated company. What does that mean?
Yeah, Elizabeth, here in Florida, that's kind of the norm because the big household name insurance companies don't write homeowners insurance. So we call those the domestic carriers, and they haven't been in business long enough to get a rating from AM Best or one of the recognized rating bureaus. So they are admitted. The company that you mentioned is an admitted carrier, so that's something you should be looking at, because that means if they're to go bankrupt, they have financial troubles, the state will stand behind them up to a certain amount. But they're not rated by any recognized bureau to say what their financial condition is.
Is that the same thing as a surplus lines carrier or something along the same lines?
Well, the admitted versus non-admitted is, yeah, the non-admitted carriers or the surplus lines carriers are rated, but the Florida domestics, as they're called here, aren't, because they just haven't been in business long enough to get a financial rating from AM Best or some of the biggies that rate the Chartises, the Travelers, the Allstates, the big household names.
Gotcha. All right, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for
that phone call. Bottom line is, here we are. We find ourselves, I guess, smack dab in the middle of the hurricane season. We're starting to see storms roll off the coast of Africa. Is there anything that our listeners really should be doing now to kind of protect themselves should a storm hit? What types of preparations do you suggest before the actual damages occur?
Yeah, Eric, that's a great question. Everybody should have a plan. And that's easy to say, but the most important parts of the plan is to know who the first responders are. So this way, after the storm, you can't get a hold of anybody. You don't know what to do. You need to have those first responders on hand. Have it all pre-negotiated. Have your insurance, but know what's covered under the insurance policy, so that when you have that big windstorm deductible that's going to be due, it's not a surprise. Talk with your agent. That's really where the agent becomes a big part of that preparation plan, to make sure that you're covered properly. Appraisals are important to make sure we've got the correct amounts of insurance in place.
Right. And let me ask you this. Do you think it's a good idea to probably take pictures of the property before the storm hits? I know a lot of times associations will run into the fight with their carrier, perhaps after a storm, talking about whether or not the property was bad to begin with before the storm actually hit. So how important might it be to have some photographs on hand of the condition of, let's say, your roof or the condition of the common areas?
Yeah, that's a great idea to have. You know, most of those disputes over the condition of the roof really get down to what the experts see. So, you know, have those experts ready to respond if you do get into a conflict with your insurance company.
All right. Most importantly, Paul, tell us and all the listeners how we can get in contact with you and Mac and Mac and Waltz.
Our website, macinsurance.com. Our phone number is 954-640-6225.
I understand you have an 800 number as well, right? 800-351-4224?
That's correct.
All right, let's give it again. 800-351-4224. And by the way, for those of you who might have further insurance questions and who want to meet Paul in person, I can tell you that he's going to be teaching some of the seminar with us at the Condo Craze Board Certification course in November at the Hard Rock Hotel. You'll teach the insurance segment. He'll be answering your questions on insurance as well. And again, if you need to get in touch with Mac, Mac, and Waltz before then, you have questions about your coverage or want to know what to do in the event a storm should hit, again, 800-351-4224. All right, it looks like we're about at the end of another week of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Thanks so much for tuning in for yet another week, and we will see you same time, same channel next week. Scott, we look forward to having you back.
Yes,
all right, buddy. Be well, everybody, and have a great week.